Okay, you ready?
Okay.
First of all, I'm just going to ask you some general information, like your full name, including maiden name.
Okay. Joanne Kiker Park.
That's it. Okay, where were you born at?
Calhoun County.
What city?
Hamston.
Okay. I thought it was Piedmont. I don't know. what date were you born?
3/20/46.
Now I know when to send your birthday card. Oh, wait, I already did that. The card. Okay, what was your mother's maiden name?
Edna A.L. Pomfrey.
Okay, and do you know her father and her mother's name?
Thomas Pomfrey and Sarah Pomfrey.
What was her maiden name? Do you remember?
Saxon.
Okay. What was your father's name?
Floyd H. Kiker.
Do you remember?
Joseph Kiker and Margaret Pounds.
Okay. Okay, how many children do you have?
Four.
Okay, can you list them and their date of birth?
Okay, I'd be Richard L. Lively. 9/1/64 and Lisa Ann Lively 9/3/65.
Okay,
I said those dates wrong.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay.
Oh, okay. It's 9/17/64 for Richard and 9/23/65 for Lisa.
Okay, and they were born from your first marriage, right?
That's correct.
And you have two children from your present marriage, right?
That's correct. Perry Eugene Hart Jr. He was born on 8/22/68. And Aaron Wayne Hart was born on March 23rd, 1970.
Okay. And your current husband is
Perry
Hart Sr. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did you go to high school at?
Alexandra.
I know you attended Jacksonville State, right?
Gadsden.
Okay.
And junior college.
How long have you gone there?
About a year.
And you were taking what kind of courses?
Business.
What's your religious preference?
I'm Baptist.
Okay. What kind of jobs have you had previously?
I've always worked in retail or even management.
Okay.
So I went back to college, and then I work in more business and accounting firm.
Okay. And what kind of job do you hold now?
I guess a bookkeeper for service realty.
Okay. Okay, I forgot to give today's date. That's the 3rd of April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're at your home, 1026 Vida Drive, Anniston, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had to pause for just a minute, but back to the interview. How, when, and where did you meet your husband?
Okay, I was manager of a restaurant at Vermont out here, and my husband was stationed at Fort McClellan, and I met him coming into the restaurant.
Okay.
And when was in, it was June of 1960.
Mm-hmm. And where's this restaurant located?
Lenlock.
That's where?
Acapulco is now.
Okay.
It was a Lenlock restaurant.
Okay. When did he ask you to marry him?
About 6 weeks after.
Really?
I met him.
Okay. Was there public awareness of the situation in Vietnam at that time?
Very much so. It was a lot of demonstrations going on, a lot of people against it, a lot of people against the soldiers that was over there, not a lot of sympathy for the families that were back here that was having to their loved ones go over and not know what all was going on.
Mm-hmm. How much advance warning did your family receive before Perry was sent to Vietnam?
He volunteered to go to Vietnam, and he was in Germany. He volunteered, so when he came home, he told me that's where he was going.
he came home from work and told him?
I wasn't with him in Germany. I was here in Anniston, and he was stationed in Germany at an area that dependents couldn't go at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he came home on leave, I thought on leave, he told me he had volunteered to go to Vietnam.
How did you feel about that?
Very afraid. Very angry because he volunteered to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like he was taken away from my family because we had a new baby at the time. And afraid of what could happen.
How long had you been married before you went to Vietnam?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. So, Aaron had just been born?
No, just,
Perry
was, and then when he was over there, he went over in 69.
Yeah. What was your opinion of the military before you got married to Perry Senior?
I really didn't know anything about the military because none of my family had been in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was in under the old rule.
Mm-hmm.
If the Army wanted you to have a wife, they would issue you one.
Right.
So, therefore, it made it real hard on being married to someone in the military then because you had all the responsibilities. They felt like they belonged to the Army.
Right. What was your opinion of the military when you found out he was going to Vietnam?
Well, I felt very isolated because it just seems like they took your husband, but yet you had nothing. You had no support groups. You had no one that you could call and check on anything. You had no one that you could depend on to help you as far as any financial things, if his pay got messed up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you really just left out.
How long was he in Vietnam?
A year.
How long was he in Germany before he went to Vietnam?
18 months.
Mm-hmm. So you were apart for basically 2.5 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you do while he was in Vietnam and in Germany also, as far as work? Or?
Yeah, I continued working. I was manager of the restaurant out there until it closed, and I went into manufacturing.
Okay. Were there any kind of public rallies or anything in this area?
Not so much here. It was the bigger cities, and you heard a lot about it on news and on TV, and you didn't know exactly where everybody stood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was upset about the boys being over there, but we felt like they were put over there and then their hands were tied. So we really didn't feel very favorably to the military or the government, in fact, at all.
Mm-hmm. Were there any kind of, you said there weren't any kind of support groups?
None. You didn't, like the different things, like from the difference when they went to Desert Storm, you had all type of support groups and all type of church groups and all, and people were calling you all the time, checking on you and all, and there it was nothing.
Right, your husband also went to Desert Storm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you feel differently about the military now than you did then?
Well, I would have to say yes, because it changed the latter part of Perry's time that he was in the military, that you felt more a part of the military.
Right, he retired from the military.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're 23 and a half years, 1980.
Okay. What were things like in Anniston during the time that he was in Vietnam?
Well, Anniston wasn't too favorably to the fort at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And before, Anniston really looked down on the military.
Right.
They didn't have a lot to do with them.
And now the fort's trying to close, you see everybody's trying to support.
Well, as I said before, you've seen things over the last 10 years Perry was in the Army, you've seen people felt differently about the military.
Mm-hmm.
They felt like they could benefit a lot from them by housing and by them buying in Anniston, so therefore a lot has changed towards it,
mm-hmm.
to what it was then.
What was Fort McClellan like then?
very small, very isolated. You could still, of course, go to commissary and the PAs, but, you know, it was such a hassle to go. They didn't make it so open as it is now. It was always MPs on the gate. They checked everybody as they went in and went out. And very closed post at this point. And therefore, you felt really isolated away from it.
Okay. Was Perry in a unit here or any kind of support group here that you could contact?
No, it wasn't. And you wasn't given anybody to contact to. Now, there again, to compare it against Desert Storm, we were given people to get in contact with.
Uh-huh.
And before, when they were moved in the military, they were moved and nobody knew anything. I mean, you would have to go out and go through legal aid and everything in order to find out anything. And you more or less, you went through the Red Cross and not the military to find out anything.
Yeah, I've seen on TV, like the news broadcast of the anniversaries of the war and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They had, do you remember the broadcasts that were on, like the nightly broadcast?
Yes, and they would show, you know, newsreels of over there. And I can remember the children sitting on the couch just crying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were totally afraid because of what they seen, and they knew how theirs, where my dad is. Yeah, and they were small, and they didn't know how to comprehend that much, but they were really afraid. I can remember sitting at night, just waiting. You were like you were waiting for something to happen, for that telegram to come, or for somebody to come up to the door waiting, you know.
Did you find yourself watching TV constantly, or?
And anything that come out, you've tried to read it.
Uh-huh.
And but they wouldn't give out a whole lot of information. They were comparing it again, Desert Storm, everything was open. Then you didn't get it.
Uh-huh. While you was there, what was your opinion of the military?
I hated it.
Yeah.
You know, I really did, because I felt like they didn't want you to know what was going on. And they had nothing for you. They felt like if you got their check, that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. You just had no support at all from them. No information given out. And you really couldn't find out anything. And in fact, he was hurt over there and medevaced out to Cameron Bay, which is a coastal area of Vietnam, and then brought back to Walter Reed Hospital, and I was never notified from the Army.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was so happened he was just able to write me that when he got to that point, you know, when he got there, he wrote to me, and then the day that he was getting out and flying to Atlanta for me to pick him up, I got a letter from the Army saying my husband was in satisfactory condition, and I could write to him at that address.
So things were real slow, or?
Very, very slow. And people, you know, they couldn't find out anything. And if you got a message that someone was missing in action, that's all. They didn't tell you anything else. They didn't want you to ask. And everything was really hush-hush.
Okay, I saw a movie one time where they, like, edited letters and stuff like that. Did you ever receive a letter?
No, I was fortunate on that. Perry was with the 18th Engineer Corps over there. And his area of expertise was for inspection of it. So they flew them in and they inspected the area as far as the machinery they had and workability of the machinery. And then they'd move them out. So they were hopscotching all over.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in a... they were fired on, and they were in areas that was fired on, but to be there constantly and go out on the maneuvers and all, he didn't. So he didn't, he wasn't made aware of crucial information that could have gotten back.
How often did you hear from him?
The letters were very sporadic.
Sporadic.
And you might get two letters this week. It might be 3 weeks before you get another one. You might get two or three then. But it always seemed like it was a lot of letters missing in between.
Uh-huh.
And you never was for sure if he got the letters you sent him or packages that you sent or anything. And then maybe on down the line he would have gotten it. But what we did also, we got little tape recorders,
the same type, and he took one with him.
And we sent back tapes, and that really helped. Uh-huh. Because you could hear them speaking, because at that point, there was no telephone calls back.
Was that a morale booster?
Very, I think. To hear from his family, hear the children talking and all, and hear something of home. I'm sure that was probably hard on him, too, but to be able, I mean, you could read a lot in a letter, but when you hear it in a person's voice, you can also get feeling from it. Mm-hmm.